Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Bless the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Oh, come on, give it to the Lord. 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 Give Him praise. He's worthy. He deserves all the glory and all the honor. Tell the person standing by you, I am so happy to see you. In about 2 weeks' time, 2024 will end. I am glad that you've made it to the end of the year. By the grace of God, you will cross over into 2025. And your life, your life, will be far better than it was this year. Give the Lord a shout of glory. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful to you for this morning. Thank you for seeing us through the past week. Thank you for ushering us into a new one. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for restoring and sustaining us. This morning, we are delighted that we have another opportunity to hear your word. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will speak powerfully to us all, and that your word will bring us hope, will encourage our hearts, and will comfort us. I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice, and thank you that each and every one of us will see you and have a deeper revelation of you by the end of this service. May your name be praised forevermore, and let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Clap unto the Lord once again, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, it's good to see all of you again. Thank you very much for being in church this morning. About a year ago, we were all disturbed. Those of you who have been around for some time, about the news of passing on to glory of one of our dear sisters and one of the cherished members of this church, our sister Sandra Anani Nikwashi, who went home to be with the Lord on the 16th of December 2023. It's amazing to note that 1 year has already gone by, and time flies really fast. And here we are, a year after her call to glory, remembering her. And this morning, her family is here in church to thank God for how He's kept and sustained them and preserved them during that very difficult occasion. I know that it hasn't been easy for them. It hasn't been easy for those of us who knew her and had a relationship with her. But this morning, I trust that this message that I'm going to share with us will strengthen your hearts, will comfort you. At the tail end of the service, I'm going to pray for you, and I know that God is going to take care of all of us. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right. Now, as 2024 draws to its end,
If you were to talk to different people about how the year has been for them, you're going to get different responses and you're going to get different reactions. Some of the people you talk to will be very happy and will be excited. Why? Because perhaps things have gone very well for them. God has met their needs, the expectations that they had for the year, this year 2024, have been met. And generally things have gone well for them. So they will be happy and they will be excited. But some of the people that you talk to may be sad, may be disappointed, because things haven't worked out well for them as they expected. They will tell you about their frustrations, their difficulties, and in some instances, painful experiences that they went through. Now, this morning, I want to encourage our hearts, because you see, when a year is drawing to its close like that, you do a lot of, you know, reflection, and you think about it. How when the year was starting, you were hoping that your situation will be better than it was during the previous year. And we have barely 2 weeks to go, and you may be saying to yourself that, so what happened to all my expectations? And why have things not gone the way I hoped that they would? You may be the reason why God laid this message on my heart. And this morning, I want to share a sermon with you. The title of my message is, It Shall Be Well. It Is Well. That's the title. It Shall Be Well. It Is Well. Look into the face of the person sitting by you. Tell the person, it shall be well. And then tell the person again, it is well. Say it again like somebody who believes in what you're saying. It shall be well. It is well. Say it once again. Mm-hmm. And say it with a lot of faith and conviction. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we want to read from verse number 18. 2 Kings chapter 4, reading from verse 18. If you read through the first part of 2 Kings chapter 4, it will tell you about the prophet Elisha's encounter with a certain wealthy woman of a town called Shunem. Now, this woman had been very kind and generous to the prophet. Anytime he passed through that town, she would host him and take care of him. And it got to a point, she sought the consent of her husband to actually construct a chamber, a room for the prophet. And she furnished it with a bed, with a table, a chair, with a candle, so that anytime the prophet came to town, he would have a comfortable place to stay. And she took care of his needs anytime he went through that town. One day, the prophet Elisha asked his servant Gehazi that, what can we do for this woman? The only thing that was missing in the life of this woman was a child. She didn't have any children. And her husband was also very old. So the prophet Elisha, and by the way, I prophesy into somebody's life today that anything that is missing from your life, may God supply it before the year will end. Anything that you have been believing God for that you haven't seen, in the upcoming year, may God manifest that thing in your life. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when he heard this, the prophet Elisha gave her a prophetic word and said to her that a year by this time, she was going to have a child. And God honored that prophetic word, and this woman had a son. And I'm sure that this boy was a source of great joy to her. Hallelujah. But the passage that we are about to read tells a story of a tragedy that occurred in relation to this boy. So I read 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 18. And when the child was grown, and I'm reading from the King James Version, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. So the father was harvesting. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And the father said to a lad, a young boy, that carry him to his mother. I mean, you know how fathers usually behave. A lot of fathers, but that doesn't include you. Then there's a problem, no? They say, go to your mother. Or take the child to the mother, you know. So this father was behaving like a lot of African fathers. God have mercy on the fathers, amen. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Now that was very quick. That was very fast. And I'm sure you've heard of stories like that. Somebody wasn't well. The person is not well, no, before you realize something bad has happened. This year, may nothing bad happen to you. May you cross over into the new year. We shall not receive bad news concerning any of you. In the name of Jesus. If your amen is louder than your friend, your testimony will be greater. Yeah, you people like such things though. The Bible says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Verse 22. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, this was her husband asking her, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Why are you going to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. Now I want you to take note of what she said to her husband. And she said, it shall be well. And she said to her husband, it shall be well. What did she say to the husband again? It shall be well. Verse 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not. Don't slow down your riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. And this is what I want you to say unto her. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And this was the answer she gave. What was the answer she gave? It is well. I'm talking about somebody whose son was dead. Only son. And this was a son that she had after many years. She had that child when her husband was very old. It was a miracle child. The boy was dead. And when the servant of the prophet asked her, Sabokodye, Bebia Wufiye, Bibia Bokoana, Wokunu Huye, Wankasasu Huye, Namobanwe, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And her response was, well, it is well. What she said to her husband when she was leaving the house was that it shall be well. And now what she was saying to the servant of the prophet Gehazi was that it is well. It shall be well. It is well. Say to somebody again, it shall be well. It is well. Say it one more time. It shall be well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It shall be well. It is well. The story continues, verse 27. But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone, one down. She is deeply troubled. And notice what the prophet said, but the Lord has not told me what it is. You know, let me tell you something, my friends. Do not let anybody deceive you into thinking that they have all the answers to the questions of this life. Because sometimes men of God and prophets try to create an impression that there is nothing that God decides to do that he doesn't tell them. And they will quote Amos. You know, is it Amos 3:7? Yeah. May I ask you, my friend, who do you think you are? Look at Amos 3:7. The Bible says, indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. It is true that the Bible has said so, but one of the things you must understand, there are a lot of statements in the Bible. Never make the mistake of thinking that every statement you read in the Bible is an absolute truth, and that there is no variation to it. It is written there. But understand that the Bible contains a lot of truths. The only one who is the absolute truth is Christ. And that is why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you are interpreting the scriptures, you have to really take your time. And I want to say to you that get to a place where you know the word of God for yourself, where you are able to interpret the scriptures for yourself. Don't become somebody who just swallows everything that is said to you. And this thing that I'm saying, I've said to you over and over again. And the fact that I'm repeating it today must be a message to somebody that God is speaking to you. Go back to my scripture in 2 Kings 4. This was the prophet Elisha. He had a double portion of the anointing that was upon Elijah. This is the one who, when he died, the anointing was still in his bones. Such that they went to bury somebody and they put the person's coffin on top of where his bones laid, and the person came alive. And you the one who is doing two known around, claiming to be Odifobia Yenshi Ebida, Yehu Bida. So let's take our time, please. Let's take it cool. Let's relax. And let's not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Am I speaking to somebody today? He said, but the Lord has not told me what it is. Verse 28. Then she said, now she started facing the prophet. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Me ba won chen e be katira o se me pe ba na. And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Because when the prophet sent his servant to go and ask her what he can do for her, her response was that, I have everything I need. There's nothing that I need that I don't have. Because probably at this time of her life, she had given up on ever having a child. So she was content with her situation. It was the prophet who gave her that word. She didn't go and beg him and tell him that you've been coming and going. You must do something for me. Pray for me to have a child. And when the prophet told her that you're going to have a child, she told him that, please don't come and deceive me. So now she was reminding him of what she told him when this whole issue of having a child came up. Did I ask you for a son? And didn't I tell you that don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Next verse. Then Elisha said to Gehazi, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. 30. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. So Elisha had to follow her to the house. He sent Gehazi, his servant, ahead. Verse 31. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, the child is still there. Because when he got back, Elisha asked, ah, now call anyway. He said, call anyway, Yanni. 32. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He was not in a coma. He was dead. 33. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. 34. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Somebody say, careful now. This verse has led to a lot of problems, but I don't want to get into that. Prophetic direction. That's some crabbing. Next verse. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 36. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother, he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. Verse 37. He fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Put your hands together for Jesus. It's a beautiful story. There are 3 groups of people that I'm speaking to today. Those who are physically present here, you know, like you. And there are also some people who are watching us online through the streaming or the broadcast that we put out there. But among those who are here and those who are watching us, I can identify 3 groups of people. And I made reference to it at the very beginning. Group 1. Those of you who have lost somebody or something that you cherish. So you may have lost a loved one. You may have lost your good health. Maybe in the course of this year, you lost a job. You lost some money. You lost an important relationship. Your marriage fell on the rocks. You lost a great opportunity. You lost your joy. You lost your peace. That's group one. Group two. There are also those of you listening to me this morning whose expectations have not been met, and you have also been through some major disappointment in your life this year. That's group two. And of course, there will be group three. Those of you who have had a great year, your prayers have been answered, your needs have been met, and things have worked out pretty well for you. So there are three groups. Ask your neighbor, which group do you fall into? Group at the end. Group two. How many are in group one? Group two. Group three. Somebody is saying that I'm in all of the groups. Hello, your problems are a lot, but three groups of people. This morning, this message I'm sharing with you is to encourage us to tap into the faith of this Shunammite woman and learn to confess in whatever situation we find ourselves that it shall be well, and it is well. Whichever group you are in, I want you to learn something from the faith of this Shunammite woman. We don't know her name. We don't know her age. We know that she came from Shunem. We know that she was a very wealthy woman. We know that she was married to a very old man. These are the things that we know about her. We don't know her name. But there's something about her faith that we can tap into, that we can learn from. And I believe that it will help us in the days ahead. And it will help us to move on in life. That whatever situation we find ourselves in, we will learn to say, it shall be well. It is well. Praise the Lord. There were two occasions in my life where I was reprimanded and I was rebuked because I said to somebody, it is well. The first one of my mates from secondary school, the best secondary school in the country. What's the name of that school again, please? Oh, please, let's not struggle with these things. What's the name of that secondary school again, please? We couldn't break the eight. You, the school that you came from, have they even broken one before? Don't bring yourself. Now, this mate of mine lost his daughter under very painful circumstances. And so it was put up on our WhatsApp platform. And we started expressing our condolences. And I also said my own. Then after writing what I wrote, I added the phrase, it is well. Then somebody took me on the page and said, it is not well. How can you say it is well? The guy has lost his daughter. It is not well. I had to be quiet. Then on another occasion, a friend of mine lost her mother. I went to her. I consoled her. And then after saying what I had to say, I also said to her, it is well. Then another friend of ours who heard me talking to her looked at me and said, it is easy for you to say it is well. That's what she said to me. But I know why she said that. Because then, yes, I know. What is that? It is well. But you see, the reason why this lady said, from outside, okay, said to me that it is easy for you to say it is well was because some years before, she had also lost her husband painfully. And I'm sure that when I said it is well, she remembered the number of it is wells that were said to her. But I understand why people will have a problem or an issue with somebody saying it is well when somebody has experienced loss, somebody has experienced pain, somebody has been through a difficult time, somebody has been through a difficult experience. Yet here is somebody saying it is well. Now that statement, it is well, I'm sure it reminds you of something. I'm sure it will remind you of a hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my soul. Now that hymn was written by a gentleman called Horatio Spafford. The story behind this hymn was that he was a Christian, a lawyer, and a real estate investor. He was into buildings, selling them, and all of that. He was a pretty successful fellow. And he had a great investment in Chicago. But in 1871, there was a very big fire outbreak. And he lost a lot of things. Then not long after, he had a four-year-old son who died. He suffered scarlet fever. It's a kind of fever. And he died from it. So he suffered loss in the fire outbreak. And then he lost his son. He decided that maybe the rest of the family should go on a vacation to England. He had a wife and four other daughters. So in those days, when you have to go on these long distance trips, you go by ship. He sent them ahead of him because he had to stay back to finish up some pressing duties. He was there when he got a message that there had been a serious collision on the sea and the ship had sunk. 200 lives were lost. And it included all of his daughters. His wife survived. And she sent a telegram to him. I am the only one saved. What shall I do? So he got on board the next ship to go to England and be with the wife and console him. And as they were traveling, the captain of the ship that he was on knew his story. So when they got to a certain point, the captain went to see him and told him that this place is where the ship sank that you lost your four daughters. It was then that the words to this hymn came to him, that when peace like a river attended my way, and when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, niebesi makwe mubia, thou, Jehovah, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Then the second verse. Though Satan should buffet, that means he will do everything that he can to break me, to make me lose my faith, to make me lose my confidence in you. Though trials should come, go through difficult experiences, He said, let this blessed assurance control. Let me have this assurance controlling me in my mind and in my heart. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate. He can see how helpless I am without him. He can see how sometimes things get to me and affect me. And he has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. That's when he got the words for the lyrics. Lost a major investment, lost his son, lost his daughters. And the only thing that he could think of saying was that it is well. Echoing the words of this Shunammite woman, who said, it shall be well. And she said, it is well. And I want to say to us, my friends, that it's important for us as we go through this life, whatever comes our way, whatever we meet, whatever we experience, we should learn to say it shall be well and it is well. Why? Because when you say it shall be well and it is well, you are declaring your faith in your God. That you know that he is in control over every situation of your life, whether good or bad. That's why we should learn to say that. We should learn to say, it shall be well and it is well. Because when you say that, you are declaring that I have faith in the God I serve, whose I am and whom I serve. I have faith in him. I believe that he is in control of every situation of my life, whether it's a good situation or whether it's a bad situation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God causes everything, and everything means everything, good, bad, pleasant, unpleasant, nice, not so nice. God is the one who causes all these things to work together for the good of those who love him and those who are the called according to his purpose. And what this verse is simply saying is that God is very much in control. That God is in control over your life, over your situation, over your circumstance, over everything that has happened to you. He's in control. You are the one who is confused. He is not. You are the one who is disturbed. He is not. And when you declare it shall be well and it is well, in essence, you are showing that you believe that God is in control. And this is what God himself says. Isaiah 46 verse 10. Isaiah 46 verse 10, New Living Translation. It says, only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. Then he says, everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Oh yeah, I know. But sometimes it doesn't look like God is in control. Sometimes the feeling is that the devil is in control. That evil seems to be prevailing over good in this life. But I want to say to you that God is sovereign. That means that he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and he doesn't need permission from anyone. He's sovereign. And all those times when it looks like the devil has won and that the devil is in control. No, he hasn't. He has never been in control. Let me make that very clear to you. Even when it looks like he's the one who is winning, he's never win. There is nothing that the devil and the forces of evil are able to do if God hasn't allowed it. God is in control. And the devil's control and power is limited by the sovereignty of God. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake of thinking that God doesn't know what is happening to you, that God is not in control, that God can't take care of you. He is in control. It's just that when he is working, sometimes it's not clear what he is doing. And there are instances when it looks like the enemy is winning, but just give it some time, you begin to see that, oh, so God was up to something. And God was actually doing something. And what you thought was God's failure was actually God working things out for you. Hallelujah. When Jesus was crucified, it looked as if the devil had won. But this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. It says, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Now notice what it says. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. As Jesus was being crucified, as he was being humiliated, as he was being molested, as he was being disgraced, as we're doing all of those, it looked like the devil was in control and the devil had won. Day one, it looked very bad. Day two, it looked very bad for Jesus. But on the third day, that was when Satan and the powers of darkness realized that everything that had happened according to plan, that God was in control. Whatever you've experienced in your life, whatever you've gone through in your life, whatever confusion and despair has enveloped you or eclipsed you, if you are a child of God and you put your trust and your faith in him, I want to tell you that everything is working together for your good. That God is in control. And you must learn whatever is happening in your life, whatever you've been through, learn to say, it shall be well, and it is well. Hallelujah. Why must we say it shall be well? Why must we say it is well? Because it expresses our confidence in God's love, his goodness, and his care for us, and that he will come through for us. When we learn to say, it shall be well, and it is well, it is a way of expressing our confidence in God's love, in God's goodness and care for us. It's a way of expressing our confidence that God will come through for us. That is why when things are a certain way in your life, don't start singing Mobrawa songs. Don't start cursing and complaining and murmuring. Open your mouth and declare, even in your confusion, that it shall be well. It is well. Because when you say that, you are expressing that I have confidence in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whom I've committed my life to. I know that he's working things out for me. Because of that, I can boldly say, it shall be well and it is well. Hallelujah. Psalms 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. So when you say that it shall be well, and it is well. You are saying that the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation, and he will come through for me. Hallelujah. And God himself has promised us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not a disaster." God's plan concerning you are plans for good. He's not out to harm you. He's not out to hurt you. Chris, I'm feeding back. That's the reason why I haven't gotten down all this while. Please do something about it. God is not out to harm you. He's not out to destroy you. He's not out to take away your joy and your peace. Where do you get these ideas from? Ideas of a very wicked, stern, strict God who is just looking for an opportunity to whack you with his walking stick. Who told you that God even uses a walking stick? So we have all these amazing ideas. And yes, I know that there are some pastors and ministers of God who will always paint a certain picture of God. Look. There are different sides to God. It's true. And one side that you must understand to do with God, the side that is just. It's just. And he's fair. And he must punish sin and punish wrongdoing. It's very true. But that should never make you think that God doesn't love you. And even if he has to punish you for something, the Bible says, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. Do you punish your children because you don't love them? Theo, look at this, your little one. Do you punish him sometimes? You do. What kind of punishment? You whack him. Yeah. But do you do that because you don't love him? You love him. Anytime you are whacking him, it's a demonstration of your love. Yeah. You are whacking in love. Yeah. But the fundamental truth is that you love him. And I want you to understand that God loves you. And he's very much interested in you. There are times when he disciplines us, but it doesn't erode that truth that he loves you. And ultimately, he's working things out for your good, to make you a better person. So God is not out to hurt you or to harm you or to destroy you or to cause you pain. And anything that you go through that is hurtful, that is painful, you must believe that God is in control. And he knows why he's allowed those things to happen to you. Because he sees the end from the beginning. And according to the counsel of his will for you, he may allow you to go through certain things. Which is why whenever you're going through those experiences, learn to say, it shall be well. It is well. And express your confidence in God that he's working things out for you and that he will come through for you. Number three, we should learn to say, it shall be well and it is well. Because it's a way of surrendering to God's will for our lives. Especially when you don't understand what is happening and why certain things have happened. When you say, it shall be well and it is well, what in effect you're doing is you are surrendering to the will of God for your life. The best place for us to be is in the will of God. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, and verse 39, he prayed the prayer there. He begged the Father that if it is possible, let this cup of suffering pass me by. Then he stabilized himself and said, Yet not my will, but your will be done for me. It meant that he knew what was going to happen to him, even before it happened. But he had decided that I trust him. I trust my father. And I trust in his will for me. So whatever I am going through now, if he has allowed it to happen, I must believe that there is something that he is doing. So I will say, it shall be well. And I'll say, it is well. Because I am surrendered to his will and his plan for my life. Hallelujah. Look, if you think that it's every time that you'll understand what God is doing in your life and why he's allowed certain things, I want to tell you that it's not every time you'll understand it. But what makes us think that we can understand everything that God is doing? Did he not say in Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways? For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts and my ways higher than your ways. What makes us think that it is everything that God is doing in our lives that we will understand? We won't understand everything. But what we must learn to do is to surrender to his will. To whatever. Because I'm telling you, there is nothing that will happen in your life that God doesn't know about. And if your life is in his hands and those things are happening, they are happening because he has allowed them to happen. And if he's allowed them to happen, it means that there is something he's doing. Sometimes he would reveal it, other times he will not reveal it to you. For some of the times, it is much later in the day that you will understand that, oh, this was what God was actually doing in my life. This was the realization that Joseph came to. After being sold like an animal, as a slave, he was a prince. One, the beloved son of Jacob. His brothers sold him off like an animal. And for many years, he had to live his life in a strange land as a slave. Meanwhile, he had had dreams. Dreams that showed that God was going to make him great. That things were going to work out for him. But what he was going through was a very far cry from the dreams that he had. Later on, when he became the prime minister of Egypt, he said that God brought me here and allowed me to go through everything that I went through for a reason. He wanted me to be here to preserve my people and to preserve my generation. It wasn't easy for him in Egypt. It wasn't easy for him in Potiphar's house. It wasn't easy for him in prison. But at the end of the day, he realized that it was actually the will of God that allowed him to go through all of that. And at the end of the day, God made all things beautiful for him. That will also be the story of your life. I said that will be the story of your life. Whatever you've been through, whatever you are going through, whatever you have experienced, learn to say, it shall be well, and it is well. Because God is up to something. Say it because you believe in him. Say it because you have confidence in his goodness for your life. Say it because you are surrendered to his will. So be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Whatever you've been through, whatever has happened to you, find your confidence in the Lord. Know that even if the earthquakes and the mountains are removed and thrown into the sea, he's still Lord and he's still in control over your life. So go through the rest of the year and step into 2025. With that assurance in your heart that I am not alone. He's with me. He's working things out for me. I've been through hurts. I've been through pains. I've had disappointments. I've had sorrows. I have wept. I have cried. I have asked a lot of questions. I don't know why God hasn't come through for me. Why does he seem to be answering other people's prayers and he's not minding my prayers? I look at some people and they are badder than I am. But God seems to be doing things for them. What is going on? What is happening? In all these situations, say, it shall be well. And it is well. And watch how God is going to work things out for you in your life. It hasn't happened yet, but I prophesy into your life that it will happen. The blessing, it will be manifested. The breakthrough, it will be revealed. The progress you are looking for in your life, you will find it. God hasn't forgotten about you at all. He will come through for you and he will work things out for you. He will put a victory song in your mouth. And you will stand and give your testimony in this very place one day that I cried out to the Lord and he heard me and he answered my prayer. Learn to say, it shall be well. It is well. Put your hands together for Jesus and rise to your feet. We are done. Oh, just thank the Lord this morning. Give him thanks. Bless the name of the Lord. Give him thanks today. Thank him for his word. Express your confidence in him. Declare that it shall be well and it is well. Tell God that you are confident that he's working things out for you. Tell God that you trust in everything that he's doing. Tell him that you know that your life is in his hands, that he's in control, that he's sovereign, that he rules in the affairs of this life, and that by his grace and his mercy, according to his own wisdom, things are going to work out for you. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord this morning. Oh yes, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it shall be well with us. Thank you that it is well with us. As we move through life, may we understand that our lives are in your hands. That there's nothing that is happening to us that is an accident, that's a coincidence, but that everything has a purpose and everything has a reason. And you are the one who is able to take all our encounters and all our experiences and fit them into a very beautiful design for our lives. Thank you, Father, that we will see things turn round for our good and that you will grant unto us grace to help in the time of need. We give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Perhaps you're here this morning or you may be watching me and the word of God has touched your heart very strongly. But the truth about you is that this God who can change your life and destiny, you don't know him as Lord and Savior. But today, I want to pray with you. I want to help you take the most important decision of your life to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today, somebody invited you to church and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I'm tired of the life that I live. I'm tired of all the woes, all the difficulties, all the situations. I want to have far more purpose and meaning to my life. And you want me to pray with you. You want to surrender your heart to Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are, if you want me to pray with you for Jesus to come into your heart, can you lift up your right hand wherever you are? And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I see your heart. I see your heart. I see your hand, my friend. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Maybe you are watching us online as we stream the service. You want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. The truth is, I can't see you where you are, but God can see you right there in your room, in your living room, in your bedroom, in your porch. Just lift up your hands and God is able to reach out to you. God bless you. Now, those who have lifted your hands everywhere, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And let's all join and encourage them as we pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am.
Oh God, I need you, for without you, I cannot survive. I cannot make it. It will not be well with me. Today, I surrender my life to you. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve Jesus and I will follow him. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.